Well, folks, please leave that passage open in front of you, 1 Peter 1, 1 to 12, as we work through it, and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that we have it, that we've read it, that it tells us things that are true. Help us now to think what that means to us, and Lord, I do pray that you direct us to your word so that we might know you more and live for you more. In Jesus' name. We've probably heard of the Barney Army. It's a group of fans who travel around the world supporting the English cricket team. They sing a bunch of songs, and they're usually positive songs about their players, or they're derogatory ones about the other team's players or the other team's fans. And they sing one song over and over again, and I guess it's like their anthem. It has a call and a reply. So the leader will say, "Everywhere we go," and the rest will repeat that to it, and they're basically telling you who they are and where they come from. And it's kind of like an identity. It's saying we're all together and we all support England. And if you support England, then you're one of us. You can join with them. Wherever they are, it's their identity and it gives them purpose and meaning. We're English. We belong. We support the same team. But I think often you'll find people from a different country who live in a foreign country grouping together because there's things in common and they feel like they've got something to share. They have a feeling of belonging. The Bible, and especially the New Testament, often talks about Christians living in a foreign land. And they meet together, they come together, praying, singing and sharing. And we see that too, groups of Christians coming together with the same goal. And even though we haven't been meeting together in the one place, we still know, we still feel that we're one body. Jesus is our head. Peter, in the beginning of his letter that we're starting to look at today, is addressing Christians in a foreign lands. And he talks about their identity as Christians, and he also talks about their meaning or their purpose as Christians. And so look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and have been chosen, you have been chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood." He talks about their identity, God's elect. And he says that you've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. It's an image that goes back to an Old Testament event that these Jewish Christians in the foreign places would have known. Back in Exodus 24, where they're confirmed, that God confirms his covenant with his people. And we read, in Exodus 24, verse 8, "Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it over the people and said, 'This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all of these words.'" It's God confirming his covenant promise with his people. "You will be my people and I'll be your God." And it's sealed, if you like, by the blood of the sacrifice that God made. And he promised them, as a group of people, you belong to me. And now believers in Jesus, Christian men and women, you are God's chosen people. You've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed it for you. It's a covenant. It's covering you as God's forgiven people, figuratively sprinkled with Jesus' blood, as his death wins us salvation. And no matter where you are, you belong to God. That's your identity. And as God's people, you not only have an identity, but you have a clear purpose. You have a life. Your life has meaning. You are to be obedient to Jesus Christ. People will often think or say, "What is meaning? What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is our purpose?" And sometimes even as Christians, we can lose sight of who we are, why we're here, what's our purpose. Peter reminds them and us, there is a God. And he calls people to be his. And he calls them to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That's your purpose. It's God's people. In obedience to Christ, we love our enemies. As God's people, in obedience to Christ, we don't gossip or try to embarrass other people. As God's people, obedient to Christ, we forgive those who have wronged us. And as obedience to Christ, you are to think of yourself as someone who is loved, as someone who is worth being loved. In obedience to Christ, you work on producing the fruits of the Spirit, love, patience, kindness, and the rest. In obedience to Christ, you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind. And you love others as you do yourself. In obedience to Christ, don't ever feel that you don't belong. In obedience to Christ, don't feel like you don't matter. In obedience to Christ, your life is important. Who you are is important. You've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. You are God's. Believers scattered in all the countries of the world, but belonging to God. And Peter moves on now to say, you also have a home. God's people, you belong to God. You also have a home, a place to belong. And he says that's it there. Through new birth, you have a certain hope. And that's the second point that we're looking at, an inheritance kept in heaven for you. Have a look at verses 3-6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. As God's people, we have a living hope. When the Bible talks about hope in God, it's very different to the way that the world or we might use hope in earthly things. And the core difference is that when we talk about hope in this life, it's uncertain. It's uncertain because it's something that's out of our control and something that we can only hopeful. We say things like, I hope you're well. We have no control over whether you're well, and we don't even know if you are well. But we hope it. We hope you have a good birthday. I hope you do well in your exams. I hope you have a good day. All things that are uncertain and out of our control. But the hope we read about in the Bible, hope in God, is certain because it's in God's hands. God has control over it, and nothing can stop it becoming a reality. The promise for God that we will be with him in heaven. That's our true home. For believers scattered all over the place, the sure hope is that we will be with God in heaven, a living hope into inheritance. And like earthly hope, earthly inheritance is very different to the inheritance that God gives. Unlike earthly inheritance, the one that God promises will never perish or fade. No matter what you get in the way of an inheritance in this life, no matter how much it is, that inheritance is tied to this world. Money will be spent, property will deteriorate, it'll be sold, other valuable things will perish. And in the end, they're all tied to this world, which we all have to leave behind in the end. And what we have in our pockets, what we have in our homes and our bank accounts will mean nothing, perish and fade. But our inheritance from God, eternal life with him, is sure. And it's kept in heaven by God for you. And with the certainty of our inheritance kept in heaven, our salvation, we are also shielded by God until we reach salvation. The hope is kept for us, and we are kept for that hope until it becomes a reality. There is a place for us, and God will make sure we get there, shielded. It's a little bit like going on holidays. You'll book a place, you'll pay the money, you'll get a receipt, you'll see some pictures of where you're going, and you'll have some idea of what you'll do when you're there. And then you wait for that time, and you hope, and during that time, you hope that you'll remain healthy and that everything will go together to get you to be there, and it'll be a safe journey to where it is as well. But in these times, a lot of us have organized trips, paid for them, planned, but totally out of our control, out of the blue, those plans are frustrated because of this virus and travel being banned. We're not going to get there when we plan to get there, or for some of us, we might not even get there at all. It was a hope that wasn't fulfilled, but our hope in heaven is sure. God's got it there. It'll always be there. It's kept for you. Nothing can take it away. It is your new home. But God will also make sure you get there. We're kept, it says. We're shielded by God's power until our sure hope becomes a reality. It is ours, and God will make sure we get there. Along with all other believers, wherever they are, God's people, we will be with him for eternity. As we read more of this letter, we learn more about the suffering that the Christians Peter writes to are going through. But Peter brings it up here and now because when we're thinking of our future hope, we do it while we're living in a fallen world. And so in the struggles of a fallen world, in the sufferings and the frustrations, Peter says, remember who you are and remember your sure hope. Look again with me, verses 6 and 7. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Suffering is real. But it doesn't change a believer's inheritance. In fact, it shapes and strengthens our faith. It refines it as we hope for heaven. As we're shielded by God until we get home, there will be bumps, there will be suffering, there'll be hard times, there'll be sorrow, all the turbulence of the journey home. God never promises that a Christian will have a trouble-free life. And in fact, suffering, persecution should be expected, living in a fallen body, in a fallen world. And some of that is specifically because people are Christians, like we read about here in this letter. But our faith, our trust in God, our hope of heaven is built and strengthened by having to trust God in those hard times. Because we know that nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love, our sure hope. And so we hang on tight. And when we realize we can't hold on and we're starting to slip, that's when we're reminded that it's God who's got us, not us who have got God. And it's God who keeps a hold of us when we can't hold on. And we realize, I don't have to keep a hold of him because he has got a hold of me, and our trust in him is strengthened. We are his, and he's got us into eternity. As this section finishes, Peter swings it back to our hope of salvation by saying it's such a certain thing that it was spoken of, it was promised even before Jesus came and shed his blood. It was promised, it was spoken about. And so point 3, promise revealed. verses 10 to 12, says this: concerning this salvation, the prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with great care, trying to find out time and circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing them when he predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The prophets who spoke by the Spirit spoke of a promised Messiah, even though they didn't know fully when it would be or understand it or when it would happen. They had no doubt that it was true. And they had no doubt because God had promised it and told them that it would happen. It would happen, and they knew that the Messiah would suffer, but he would have glory to follow. Peter's generation, our generation, and the generations between have seen, heard about Jesus, the Messiah who did suffer at the cross. And also he rose again, and we hear that he ascended to the Father in glory. What they could only wonder about, we have seen, heard, and read. And although they didn't know the full details, they were sure that it was going to happen. And it did. Those who trusted in the Messiah to come, those who saw the Messiah, those who heard eyewitness testimonies about the Messiah, those who read about him and believe are God's people with a living hope of eternal life. Friends, we can rejoice with inexpressible joy in who we are in Christ. And our sure hope in Christ. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. Friends, just take time to sit with that and let it sink into your head and your heart that you are his and your inheritance is sure. And you might worship the Lord through his Spirit and through his Spirit get a greater sense of what this means. It's a wonderful truth. But I know for me and for maybe for you, it's sometimes hard getting your head around this. We know this is a sure hope, but there are times when we have doubts, maybe because I don't feel like it's true. I can't see it, or maybe even I don't deserve it. Doubts come. What makes you doubt? What are the things that you say, yeah, I know, but, and those things come into your head and you have doubts about this wonderful truth. What we can be sure of, though, whatever it is that causes you to doubt, it's not because of God. We see our limitations and our sin, and our emotions are skewed by our sin. Our thoughts are plagued by doubts. But God's purpose and plan for you and for me, there is no doubt in it at all. God never doubts that you're his. God never doubts that you will make it to this inheritance that he has promised, that you will be saved, you will find salvation. And so take those doubts and those thoughts that we have in them and put them at the foot of the cross. Let them be sprinkled by the blood of Christ. Know that you are his. You come to him. Doubts, questions, suffering, you are his, and his promise is sure. Christian musician I really enjoy listening to, David Crowder, he sings a song called Come As You Are, and I've actually put a link to that song on the email that I sent through, and you might want to, at the end of this sermon, pause and listen to that song and reflect on it. Or maybe listen to it after the end of the service, but it's really worth listening to. And in the song, he says this: come out of sadness, wherever you have been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow, that heaven can't heal. You are gods with a living hope, an inheritance to eternity with God as his people. All we can do is praise the Lord for his goodness to us, for his mercy, for his kindness from this reality, for this reality. And we do praise him. Amen.